Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck in NYC, where I'll be spending Thanksgiving. My man Clay out there in Florida?
Rosemary Beach, Florida, Buck. One of the jewels of the Florida Gulf Coast.
Lovely. I've never been down there, but Clay is getting the guest house ready for me, so it's going to be exciting to go check it out. We've got a lot to talk to you about today. I know we got Thanksgiving tomorrow. For some of you, you're probably already on the road, or maybe on your way to the airport. A lot of travel going on here. Some news to discuss, some news that may break. We are watching to see if the trial that is around the shooting of Ahmaud Arbery, if the verdict comes down today. We'll obviously bring you that as soon as we know. It's a real possibility that we'll find out. And there's obviously a lot of eyes on that trial, people paying close attention to it, that shooting incident down in Georgia. We also have more mandates from Biden. We've got truckers now in the Fauciite sites, so to speak, when it comes to international boundaries. Do truckers in America have to be vaccinated to go into Mexico or Canada? That's going to do wonders for the supply chain crisis, I'm sure. And if they push on truckers too hard, I'm sure they're going to find the push back is very concerning. But I wanted to start with continued analysis and coverage of the mass murder in Waukesha in Wisconsin, because we've had some updates here. You have Daryl Brooks held on $5 million bail right now. State of Wisconsin mandates that there must be a bail, so they put it about as high as they could. He also has, there's video now showing him after the incident going up to the mass murder incident, going up to a home of a Waukesha man and asking if he could use his phone, asking him to make a sandwich right before cops went and made their arrest. Pretty shocking and I'm sure terrifying situation that played out right there. But media's acting like this is just an incident and a thing that happened, and there's no broader discussion that needs to be had. Right now, what do you think CNN's talking about as I'm speaking to you? January 6th committee issues subpoenas targeting far-right groups. Oh, are they much more interested in that than analysis, Clay, of what we see here? I want to get to Joe Biden. As I've said, is he a man of honor? No, he's not, because if he was, he would take back what he said about Kyle Rittenhouse. But let's focus in on Brooks for a moment here. We have Andy Ngo, who's a friend of mine, an intrepid investigative journalist who has helped pull together posts from Brooks that show he was a supporter of the Black Israelites. He posted things about wanting to attack old white people specifically. He was very supportive of the BLM movement. If he had posted things, if he were a white guy who had ran into a parade full of mostly minorities and had posted really racist stuff, we would be having 24/7 media panels and discussions about hate. And in this case, why aren't we having a discussion, Clay, about the most likely motive, based on the facts we have right now, is that this was effectively a mass murder, anti-white hate crime?
Because it doesn't fit the narrative. The narrative is, in the left-wing media, that minorities can only be victims. And anytime a minority is a victim of someone other than a white person, it receives no attention. And in fact, you can take it out of this situation, awful situation in Wisconsin, and you can think about what happened with Asian hate crimes. Remember when the media tried to turn Asian hate crimes into a major story in this country, and then the unfortunate reality and truth became readily apparent, which was virtually every member of the Asian hate crime community, as all of these stories got attention, the person who was the hater, the perpetrator, was black. And so there wasn't an easy fit here because you had a minority group being the victim of another minority group. And this is the story, honestly, of Black Lives Matter writ large, because black lives in the mind of the mainstream media only really matter when they are victims from white alleged perpetrators. Because the vast majority of murders that have occurred in the last year, as we have set an all-time record for increase in murder in most of our lives, almost all of those murders have been black-on-black crime. The vast majority of them, Buck, they don't get any attention. Young black children, innocent victims killed, they don't get any attention unless there is an alleged white perpetrator associated with it. And so when you have a situation like this where it appears this man is, by the way, I think not only racist and desiring of killing people, he's also mentally deranged, right? As most people are who commit some form of mass murder. This guy is not sound of mind. He is psychologically unstable. But to your point, Buck, if a white guy had done this and it had been predominantly minority victims or all minority victims, it would be the number one story for weeks. Instead, the CNNs of the world, the MSNBCs of the world, they're going to memory hold this story and no one's going to talk about it within a few days in those universes.
The number one story on CNN's website right now, as Clay and I talk to you, is about RNC payments to Trump lawyers. Okay.
Yeah.
Just so everyone understands, you want to see the propaganda, you see it right now in real time. Another thing, we on this show, because we, of course, we actually have to wait for the facts, because if we get ahead of the facts, then we're reckless and bad people and everything else, even though it seemed very clear this was some kind of a hate crime and likely in response, likely, not definitively, in response to the Kenosha verdict, what happened in Waukesha. They told us that he was evading another incident. That was a lie. This is not evasion. He was zigzagging to kill as many people as possible. This was intentional mass murder, my friends. The media lied to you about this. And they think they're good people for doing it because, oh, well, we don't want to inflame tensions right now. By the way, let's see how they feel about inflaming tensions, so to speak, depending on how the Ahmaud Arbery trial comes down here, what the jury verdict is there. So we were right when we said here on this show it was not credible, because now we know it was not a fleeing another incident.
And it never made sense, Buck, to flee and go into a parade in a car and hit people.
But why did we know that? And CNN, MSNBC, The New York Times, The Washington Post, why did they not know that? That's a rhetorical question. We all understand, because we're trying to tell you the truth about what happens here. We're trying to tell you the truth about this situation as it plays out. But Clay, it's just remarkable, because if you look at the history of BLM, it was a movement that got going under the Obama administration. People often forget that, in response to the shooting of Mike Brown, which was a lawful shoot. The officer was not in the wrong, did not do anything that was illegal. There were black eyewitnesses to the shooting. Okay, but fast forward, there were riots, there was looting. It happened in Ferguson, it happened in Baltimore. What really ended that iteration, that version of the BLM movement in 2016? The mass shooting of Dallas police officers by Mika Johnson in 2016, July of 2016, where he killed five officers in an ambush-style assault. Why? He was upset about what was being said about black men being killed by white police. Clay, the media lying about this, and we've played some of their lies on the air because we're trying to shoot them down, we're trying to eviscerate the lies. The media plays a role in creating this mentality of evil racism in police, evil racism in all the white nationalists and all the white supremacists running around our country all the time. And it can have tragic consequences. Mika Johnson was really the end of the first BLM movement because he was a terrorist BLM supporter. I think what we're seeing here is yet another instance of somebody who was moved to violence in part by, you're right, mental illness and other things, but in part by what he was hearing about the Rittenhouse trial. What else could make sense?
I don't think there's any doubt that the media now basically finds a scab and continues to rip at that scab over and over and over again. And that is the focus of essentially the Democratic Party when they are branding their party as the everything is racist party. They have to constantly seek out opportunities to find racial grievance that divides us and create big stories building around that division in an effort to try to motivate. Now, here's the one, I would say, positive associated with this, Buck. You rightly point out that in 2016, I would also say, it's not a surprise that BLM bubbles up in 2016 in an election year, and then it bubbles up again in 2020 in an election
year. That's right. It's the left shock troops.
I would put a lot of money on the fact that no matter what the election is, in 2024, BLM is going to come surging back 4 years from now, 3 years from now, when we have another presidential election. They are, to your point, the antagonist brigade of the Democratic Party, designed to emphasize even more how everything is racist. But I think the media, I think it's fair to say, the media has blood on it, on its hands when it comes to creating falsehoods. And this is what I talk about, Buck, when I say we have an anecdote-driven culture that doesn't reflect what's really going on. Most people out there in America, every single day, a lot of them listening to us, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, they get along. They don't judge each other based on the color of their skin, based on these identity politics characteristics that are so inherent in the Democratic Party. They don't sit around on social media all day long. This is what happens, Buck. As soon as an incident like this happens, people rush to go see who the perpetrator is to allow it to fit into their narrative worldview. If this had been a deranged white guy, it would be CNN's opportunity to talk about how deranged white people are. We had a great caller, I think it was yesterday or the day before, talking about the Boulder shooting at the grocery store. When they initially had photos and the guy looked like he was a white guy, everybody in the mainstream media was like, here we go, crazy white guy again. As soon as it came out that he was Syrian, that story disappeared. Nobody wanted to talk about it in Boulder. White guy has a gun, goes in, shoots people. It's evidence of how much of a fundamentally white supremacist country it is. As soon as it came out that it was a Syrian guy, that story got memory hold. It disappeared. That's what they're trying to do with this car murder scene in Waukesha.
One of the most powerful tools of propaganda in our own society and in any society with mass media is, when is a single incident representative of a national trend,
right,
a national truth, everything that's going on. That's when we talk about the narrative. It's something happened somewhere. Perfect example, Officer Chauvin in Minneapolis. Is he representative of all cops across the country?
Of course not.
Of course not. But they pretend. They tell, oh, well, there's a lot of cops, all these racist cops. When is one incident representative of what's really going on in America? And when is one incident that seems kind of representative all of a sudden not important at all? Those are the games the media plays, and this is why you cannot trust them. Speaking of trusting the media, Clay, we've got Jen Psaki, and I mean, she's chief propaganda czar for this White House, on why shouldn't Biden called Kyle Rittenhouse a white supremacist? Why shouldn't he apologize for that? We can address that when we come back, because I think that's an important one. If you're online searching, researching, holiday shopping, you should be doing so with a level of privacy. Your business is just that, your business. No one and no other company out there, no person should be given access to what you're searching for. That's why we encourage you to use a VPN, a virtual private network. The best one comes from ExpressVPN. It builds a virtual private network that shields your activities from both big tech and cyber hackers that might see you online. Every time you connect to an unencrypted network, which is nearly every time you access a free Wi-Fi site, I mean, if you're in a coffee shop, a hotel, inside an airport, you're opening yourself up to a hacker hanging on the same network. Chances are they can gain access to your personal data, unless, Clay, you're using ExpressVPN like we do.
Yeah, and it's easy, Buck. It's as easy as downloading the ExpressVPN app. Click one button, get protected. Go into the holiday season. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. When you're doing as much online shopping, how many of you are going to be buying things on Friday? Now's the time to secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/clay. That's expressvpn.com/clay, and you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/clay.
Continuing the message, honoring the memory, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show, Thanksgiving Eve. I appreciate all of you hanging out with us. I know many of you may be traveling across the country, going to meet your friends and family. Good open discussing the rank hypocrisy in the way that the media has covered, by and large, the situation in Waukesha with the multi-murders that have taken place there. Awful for so many families in Wisconsin dealing with that abject tragedy. Also, this is evidence, part and parcel, of the lies that have been spread by Joe Biden, and the fact that Joe Biden, as an honorable man, has not been willing to acknowledge that when he branded Kyle Rittenhouse a white supremacist, that was a lie. There is no evidence to support it. Peter Doocy at Fox News asked Jen Psaki whether or not Biden would apologize for labeling Kyle Rittenhouse a white supremacist yesterday in the White House press briefing. This is what the first part of that interview sounded like. Listen.
This is about a campaign video released last year that used President Trump's own words during a debate as he refused to condemn white supremacists and militia groups. And President Trump, as we know from history, and as many of you covered, didn't just refuse to condemn militia groups on the debate stage. He actively encouraged them throughout his presidency. So, what we've seen are the tragic consequences of that. When people think it's okay to take the law into their own hands instead of allowing law enforcement to do its job.
This is inexcusable. It got worse, Buck. This Jen Psaki then doubled down on Kyle Rittenhouse smears when Peter Doocy at Fox News pressed her on it.
You're saying that it was just a campaign video. It wasn't. The president also gave an interview where he said this Rittenhouse was part of a militia coming out of Illinois. Have you ever heard this president referring to Trump say one negative thing about white supremacists? These are all things. None of this was proven in the trial. And Kyle Rittenhouse is saying that the president had actual malice in defaming his character. Is that what happened here?
The president spoke to the verdict last week. He has obviously condemned the hatred and division and violence we've seen around the country by groups like the Proud Boys and groups that that individual has posed in photos with. But beyond that, I'll leave it to his comments.
She's just talking around the issue. She won't actually address the fact that Biden smeared an innocent young man because his lunatic left-wing base wanted to hear it at the time. Joe Biden has always done that. This is why I don't like this. Oh, he's Grandpa Joe. You can trust good old Scranton Joe. No, he's not a good guy, folks. He's done whatever he's had to do for as long as he's been in politics to be on the right side of the polling and winning, and that's it. Now, right now, obviously, his polling looks terrible. And Clay, one thing that I think this brings up, notice how they're always pivoting to Trump. The pivot to Trump didn't save them in Virginia, and it almost didn't save them in New Jersey. That's part of the Democrat panic that's happening right now. That playbook doesn't work for them right now.
No, I think it's 100% right. And I think that's why they're so panicked, is because they never really had to stand for anything. Joe Biden's administration hasn't really stood for anything. They got elected on the premise that they were not Trump and that they would solve COVID. Well, they're not Trump. They certainly have not solved COVID, which I think is the underlying reason why everything Joe Biden is touching now is collapsing, because the public out there bought into the idea that Joe Biden would solve COVID, and it just flat out hasn't happened. In fact, more people are going to die in 2021 of COVID than died in all of 2020. If you're relying, by the way, on AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile for your cell phone service, you're paying too much. You need to switch to Pure Talk right now and get the same level of service for far less money. Pure Talk, exact same 5G network using the exact same towers as one of those big carriers, but for a heck of a lot less. My own son has a Pure Talk wireless phone, and he's taking advantage of this offer. Unlimited talk, text, 6 gigs of data on Pure Talk's 5G network for just $30 a month. You get right now a 30-day risk-free guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. From your cell phone, dial #250, say Pure Talk. You'll save 50% off your first month, and you can get a brand new phone as well for Black Friday. Great deal, #250, say Pure Talk. Some restrictions apply. Call for details.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.
Do you have any questions about how to speak to your liberal relatives? Your double-masked Aunt Susie, who's got a pillow with Fauci's face crocheted on it? How do you speak to her in a nice way? Do you have any questions about how to handle Thanksgiving with your liberal relatives or your new brother or sister-in-law who's all about announcing pronouns and then having some kind of a non-denominational shaman do a non-religious blessing of the food before you. Of course, Clay, you must apologize for getting this food on what had been native land, because we are oppressors and we have appropriated every turkey we eat, in a sense, has been taken from the land that was taken from the people. And we must apologize for this. Wait, 800-282-2882. If you got any family Thanksgiving conundrums to throw our way. Clay, what do you got for us?
Well, did you see the Wall Street Journal is under siege because they have been printing the Thanksgiving, I guess it's William, and look, I'm going to probably alienate people by not being an expert in the, I know Rush was an expert in the history of Thanksgiving. I believe it's William Bradford's, the write-up that he gave of the first Thanksgiving. And they've been publishing it in the Wall Street Journal now on their editorial page for decades and decades and decades. And now there is a woke community that is demanding, because some of the language they disapprove of from the 1600s when William Bradford wrote this, they are demanding that they repent and no longer publish this. And also, Buck, did you see that the Women's March, which I got to be honest with,
I have it in front of me.
This is the funniest thing.
Right now. I said this to you guys last night. This is amazing.
That is incredible.
I mean, they have the Women's March, which is really just an anti-Trump left-wing feminist, you know, lunacy fest. But the official account of the Women's March said, "We apologize deeply for the email that was sent today. $14.92 was our average donation amount this week. It was an oversight on our part to not make the connection to a year of colonization, conquest, and genocide for indigenous people, especially before Thanksgiving." 14.92, not allowed to show that to people without at least a trigger warning, Clay.
A part of me hopes, Buck, that somebody got into the algorithms of the Women's March and intentionally managed to manage the donations so that the average was $14.92. The fact you can't even satirize these people, Buck. The fact that they apologized because the average donation week was $14.92 is, I read that, and then the comments. My goodness, the comments were so good on social media in response to that. I couldn't get enough of all the humor that people were having at them. And this is kind of what we were going at earlier. Buck, the woke universe is losing, and they are losing in a major way right now. They are getting their ass kicked up and down, even on Twitter, which is a far left-wing media device. And I don't know. You know, we talk about how you land the plane with the COVID restrictions and everything else. I'm curious.
We got to come up with a new analogy.
Yeah. How do you, in the woke universe, how do they end this?
I actually have a slightly different sense of what's going on with wokeness, Clay. I think they finally overreached because they have infiltrated and control basically all institutions of culture yes. and academia. Yes. And so, I don't want conservatives to sit around and say, "Oh, look at the woke. They're so dumb. Ha ha, we win." Really? Go walk into an HR office in any Fortune 500 company right now and be like, "Hey, all this focus on diversity and inclusion, such that everyone's putting pronouns in their email signatures, you know, I'm he, him, I'm she, hers, whatever, I'm they, theirs. This seems a little silly to me. See what happens."
Well, that's true.
You know? So yeah, they've gotten a little too crazy, and there's a moment here for pushback, but we, my friend, are on defense culturally against the woke. They have seized the commanding heights. This is why even the Wall Street Journal's feeling pressure. You got to be kidding me. Pressure to have the history of the first Thanksgiving. But, you know,
I guess what I'm saying is, how does it, like, obviously the revolution feeds on itself because they turn on each other. And that's what's really happened without Trump there to be the great Satan to align against for the woke universe. But how does this, like, in 20 years, what does the write-up of this era looks like, is kind of the way that I'm already thinking.
I mean, I think that in 20 years, the left believes they will continue their progressive march into lunacy land. And right now we have an opening where enough. Remember, it's just that we talk about this. We're just trying to get 60% of the country 60%. To not be crazy. If we can get 60%,
and I think that's where we are.
If we can get 60% of America to not be crazy about all these different things, to not think that when they see $14.92, they're offended. To not think that a person who is making burritos in Portland. This has happened in a bunch of cities, but I know one incident in particular who's like the most celebrated burrito truck in Portland. He was a white guy getting death threats, Clay, yeah. Had to shut down his burrito truck. Normal people who are well-adjusted and see the reality around them and can process it without left-wing narratives are like, this is actually a mass delusion, a lunacy. This is a really a form of an anxiety disorder, a mental illness that the left has embraced. But we need 60% of the country to be agreeing with us on this stuff, or else.
I think we're getting there. And that's why I'm wondering what the retro, and I use the analogy of Vietnam, Buck, because it's almost impossible to find anybody in America today who says, hey, you know what? Vietnam was a really good idea. There were lots of people who argued it in real time. Some of the best and brightest in the country, the quote unquote experts.
There was a book, I believe, The Best and the Brightest.
There you go. And now it's virtually impossible to find anybody living today who said, hey, you know what? I love the idea of Vietnam. I defended it. It made sense. I believe that's where we're headed with this entire era. I think it's going to be almost impossible to find anybody who says they believed in masks, lockdowns, all of those things 20 years from now. In the same way, oh, Buck,
it was a movie,
Vietnam,
by the way. I said book. I meant a movie, whatever.
In the same way, I think that is what is going to end up happening 20 years from now. That's my prediction, that people are not going to acknowledge that they were ever a part of this lunacy.
I think you're much more
optimistic yes.
about us winning this war against crazy.
I think we're going to win.
Look at what's going on in Canada, our neighbor to the north. Clay, we're seeing that like the Western world basically forgot that freedom is really important, that individuality, that the state is something to be controlled, is a monster that should not be unleashed on the people, even if it's allegedly for their own benefit. I mean, we're now at a point where we're trying to convince the left that men, and I might get canceled for this. This is controversial stuff right here, going into your Thanksgiving. When you're carving into that turkey, I do not advise you to look your MSNBC watching second cousin in the eyes and say, men cannot get pregnant, because they will lose their minds over this. They will get very angry. They'll get very upset. That's the kind of fight that we're having with them now.
I know. And that's why I think we're trending toward. Here's what I believe. I believe Biden is Jimmy Carter, an accidental president brought about by abnormal historical circumstances. In this case, the pandemic. In Jimmy Carter's case, the Watergate shenanigans. And what we are headed forward is about 20 years of stability with a Ronald Reagan-like president taking control for the next 12 years or so, a couple of different administrations. And then even when the Democrats come back, they come back in the guise of Bill Clinton, who effectively, Bill Clinton, if you look at everything that he did in 92 and 96, that's basically a Republican presidency now. Right? Like everything that Bill Clinton advocated was Republican ideas sort of doctored up and triangulated to look like they were Democratic ideas. That was the only way Democrats could get elected all the way up until Obama. So like 25 years effectively, I think we're headed towards, this is my theory. You can grab this audio and tell me I'm an idiot if I'm wrong. I think we're headed towards 25 years of domination by normal, reasonable people in this country who repudiate the woke and all of their agendas.
I think Democrats think if they can just get mass amnesty, this country's changed forever. And the conservative mentality, the conservative ideology is essentially an anachronism that will no longer will be Europe without Europeans. But, you know, I like the Clay version. 25 years of stability, prosperity, kicking China's butt on the world stage.
That's what I believe is going to happen.
I really love it. Sign me up for it. I wish I could be quite as optimistic, because right now it feels a little bit like the loony left is still calling the shots about a lot of things. They really run the Democrat Party. And the fact they got a loser like Joe Biden to be president of the United States is just really a testament to, yes, the timing of it, but also the ability of the apparatus to put anybody, any clown, in a position of power as long as he dances to the required tune. Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, he's an amazing, great American, a fantastic entrepreneur, and his products will change the game for your sleep and your comfort at home. I've got a MyPillow. I've got two of them on my bed right now. Clay's got his whole family hooked up with these products too. You got to trust Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. These pillows won't go flat. You can wash and dry them constantly. And most importantly, they're made here in the USA. Plus, Mike doesn't bend the knee. Speak about the woke. He doesn't bend the knee to cancel culture. So stand with Mike Lindell and all of his great employees here in the U.S. For a limited time, Mike is offering his MyPillows for his lowest price ever. You can get a standard or queen premium MyPillow for $19.98, originally $69.98. That's a $50 savings with promo code. Got to use this promo code, folks. Clay and Buck. And Clay, this is the lowest price we've seen for a very long time.
No doubt. Also, money-back guarantee until March 1st of next year, so you have zero listeners. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials, and use the promo code Clay and Buck. Hey, a lot of you out there are going to be shopping on Black Friday tomorrow, running all over the place. How about just pulling out your computers, your iPhones, your iPads? Go to MyPillow.com, enter the code Clay and Buck, or you can call 800-792-3269 for these great radio specials.
I love this, folks. I'm sorry, I could listen to this all day. Because it is so informative and instructive.
The Wisdom of Rush. Now with Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. It is the eve of Thanksgiving, and I know many of you are traveling all over the country. Top of the next hour, Buck and I are going to solve all of your Thanksgiving-related issues in your families as you prepare for Thanksgiving. Any issue that you have, 800-282-2882. We want to hear from all of you. Open line on Thanksgiving Eve. And hopefully you're all smarter than Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm. But I saw this, and I just thought to myself, I mean, this is so inexcusably bad. So everybody out there knows that gas prices have skyrocketed. They're up some 50% from last year as a part of the overall 6.2% inflation rise. And energy prices have gotten so bad that Joe Biden has decided to release some of the strategic oil reserve. It's totally a political ploy. It makes no real significant impact here. But he's trying to get a little bit of attention in a positive way for trying to combat rising oil prices. His energy secretary trotted out, and she was asked a pretty basic question. How many barrels of oil does the United States actually consume in a day? This is something that if you were in charge of the energy sector in this country, probably you should know it. It's not going to surprise you. Granholm had no idea. Listen.
I'm curious if you know, how many barrels of oil does the U.S. consume per day?
I don't have that number in front of me.
So some suggest it's about 18 million, which would suggest you're releasing less than 3 days worth of supply from the petroleum reserve.
It's not just some would suggest. That is the number from 2020. And so she didn't know because, I mean, I told you this, Clay, off air. I sat on a panel with Jennifer Granholm when she was the former governor. Was it Wisconsin or Michigan?
I think Michigan.
Michigan, yes. Former governor of Michigan. And
she's a Canadian. She's not eligible to actually be president, right? She's not born in the state.
Not anything that anyone's going to be losing sleep over, let me tell you.
Yes.
I remember we're trying to talk about the border, and Bill was having one of his more honest moments because of saying they're just scamming the border. They're just running through the asylum process, the whole thing. And Jenna Grandma turned and looked at me and just started screaming, "Kids in cages, kids in cages," like a toddler. I was like, this woman, this is the person you're making the energy secretary. She's on a TV show with millions of viewers, and that's how she acts. I mean, it's kind of amazing to me. But yes, she is not well informed. But I mean, look at Pete Buttigieg. I mean, this is a guy who apparently couldn't even get the potholes fixed as the mayor of South Bend, and now he's the transportation secretary? Give me a break.
That's when he actually shows up, Buck. He also spent 2 months as on paternity leave, which I'm still fired up about. I had a big conversation about this with my wife, too. If you are the dad and your job allows you to take 2 months off, I don't care what your job is. You aren't that significant in the job that you have. Buck, I've already had my kids, but I took almost no, my job doesn't matter in the grand scheme. I did sports talk radio when I had my kids. All right. I don't think I missed a day from having my kids on, and I was doing sports talk radio. If you are the head of the transportation department and we have a once in a generation level collapse in supply chains, and you take multiple months off. Look, if you're the mom and you have the baby, you deserve all the time off that you can possibly get. Your body is physically recovering. Your obligations, especially if you're breastfeeding, are massive.
If you had open heart surgery, people would expect that you're going to have a recovery time, the same kind of idea. If you're the first cousin of somebody who just had successful open heart surgery, the expectation wouldn't be that you have like a bystander trauma from the surgery, and so you need weeks off from work too.
It's not even his partner who had the baby, Buck. They had a surrogate. Neither one of them actually went through childbirth. So it's not as if Mayor Pete is having to help his wife who had a baby. In fact, to my knowledge, we don't even know who had the baby and actually did the work of carrying that child for 9 months and delivering it. And this is part and parcel, the larger example of what is going on with the Biden administration is you've got a lot of cosmetic diversity and an awful lot of incompetence in this administration because they don't care about talent. They care about checking boxes.
The great diversity and inclusion reality check moment for this administration will be if it's pretty clear they decide to surpass the first female minority vice president with somebody else. I mean, that's, I think we're probably, look, it's a ways off. We'll be talking about this a lot. I think we're probably heading towards something like that. I think we're also heading toward Clay and Buck's Thanksgiving advice moments here, as well as we can start a bit of a feud. Matt Walsh, Daily Wire, great guy. Jesse Kelly, friend of mine, premier syndicated host, great guy. Very different views on turkey. Walsh is a traditionalist. Jesse Kelly says he'd rather make filet mignon, which is what he's doing, fancy style, than go with turkey. What do you think about the great turkey debate, everybody? Also, is there a side that you think just should be excluded? It's just not worth it.
Wildly overrated. Your
calls. Wildly overrated sides. I mean, I got a few in mind. I'm going to tell you right now. I got a few that I don't. Actually, you know what? I'm going to drop this bomb out there right now. The rolls?
Oh, my God.
The rolls are always...
This is the worst.
I know I can't
eat gluten. This is the worst. Talking to a Southern person and coming out against rolls, I'm not sure that any Southerner is going to be listening next hour.
Those rolls, nobody needs all that.
I don't know that anybody's listening to the open of the next hour.
We'll be back.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.